Picture the gleam of polished armor under the dim light of dawn. A katana slides from its scabbard with a whisper, the steel catching the first rays of the sun. Temple bells echo in the distance, deep and resonant, as if time itself is pausing to listen. The air is still, yet heavy with the weight of discipline and purpose. This is the world of the samurai, not the exaggerated fantasy of movies, but the reality of a class of warriors who lived and died by an uncompromising moral code. They were not merely swordsmen. They were living embodiments of philosophy, warriors whose strength came as much from the mind as from the blade. They understood something that the modern world often forgets, that without principles, power is empty. Bushido, literally the way of the warrior, was more than a set of battlefield rules. It was a complete philosophy for living, drawn from centuries of Japanese tradition. It blended the stillness of Zen Buddhism, the moral clarity of Confucianism, and the deep reverence for nature and ancestors found in Shinto. It was a code that demanded not only courage in combat, but also integrity in daily life. A samurai's worth was measured not just by how they fought, but by how they carried themselves when there was no battle to fight. Every decision, every word, every gesture had to be in alignment with the virtues that defined the warrior spirit. This code was not something written in stone tablets or handed down as a rigid law. It was a living tradition, taught by example, refined through centuries of practice. To follow Bushido was to commit to a lifelong path of self-mastery. The sword was simply a tool. The true battle was within. It was about sharpening one's character the way a blade is honed, patiently, deliberately, with absolute attention to detail. In this way, the samurai did not chase perfection for its own sake. They sought to become the kind of person for whom honor was not an act, but a natural way of being. The heart of Bushido lay in its core virtues, seven guiding principles that shaped every aspect of a samurai's life. Each one was a discipline in itself, demanding both understanding and action. Rectitude, the moral backbone that kept them steady in the face of corruption. Courage, not recklessness, but the calm willingness to act in the face of fear. Benevolence, the recognition that true strength is incomplete without compassion. Respect, the deliberate acknowledgement of the worth of others. Honesty, the alignment of word and deed. Honor, the lifelong commitment to live in such a way that one's name could be spoken with pride. And loyalty, the deep devotion to those you serve and the values you stand for. These were not abstract ideals to the samurai. They were daily practices tested in moments both small and great. And while the age of the samurai has long passed, the principles of Bushido remain as relevant as ever. In a world that rewards shortcuts, compromises, and self-interest, the way of the warrior offers a reminder that a life of discipline, integrity, and purpose is still possible, and perhaps more necessary than ever. To understand Bushido, you have to imagine Japan during the late Heian period, around the 11th and 12th centuries. The country was shifting from an imperial court culture, where poetry, art, and ceremony dominated, to an era where military power was beginning to shape society. The emperor still sat on the throne, but real influence started moving toward powerful clans, led by warriors who could protect land and people. These warriors, known as bushi or samurai, weren't yet bound by a single, formalized code. At that time, the focus was simply on martial skill and loyalty to one's lord. Yet as centuries passed, through wars, political upheaval, and eventual peace, something deeper began to take shape. The samurai realized that skill with a sword wasn't enough to maintain order in society or dignity in life. They needed principles that could guide them in every situation, not just on the battlefield. From the late Heian period through the Kamakura and Muromachi eras, Japan saw constant conflicts between rival clans. The samurai were forged in this crucible of war, but the endless bloodshed made it clear that raw strength alone led to chaos. By the Edo period, beginning in the early 1600s, Japan entered a time of relative peace under the Tokugawa shogunate. With large-scale wars fading into memory, the role of the samurai began to change. No longer fighting in daily battles, they became administrators, teachers, and moral leaders in their communities. But a warrior without war still needed purpose. Bushido became that purpose, a way to live with honor, discipline, and clarity in an era where the sword was often sheathed. It was no longer just about how to fight, but how to live well. Bushido was shaped by three powerful philosophical and spiritual influences. The first was Shinto, Japan's native belief system, which instilled a deep respect for nature, ancestors, and purity. From Shinto came the idea that one's actions should align with a sense of spiritual harmony, that life should be lived in a way that honors the interconnectedness of all things. The second influence was Zen Buddhism, which taught the samurai how to quiet the mind and remain present, even in the face of death. Zen emphasized simplicity, mindfulness, and the acceptance of impermanence, all essential qualities for a warrior who might face mortality at any moment. The third was Confucian ethics, brought from China, which stressed loyalty, duty, and the proper ordering of relationships. Confucianism gave Bushido its social structure, the idea that a samurai must know their role and fulfill it with integrity. These three currents merged into something unique, a moral compass that went beyond religion, beyond politics, and even beyond war. Bushido was not a book of rules that you memorized, it was a path you walked every day. It didn't matter if you were managing a castle's affairs, training with a bow, or tending to family matters, the code applied everywhere. This universality is what made it so powerful. Even when the need for constant battle faded, Bushido kept the samurai disciplined, giving them a higher standard to measure themselves against. It was as much about restraint as it was about action. A samurai's greatness was measured as much by the battles they didn't fight as by the ones they won. What's fascinating is how Bushido filled a void that peace created. In times of war, purpose is often obvious: survive, defend, win. In peace, purpose becomes more elusive. Without a code, a warrior without an enemy can lose direction, falling into corruption, excess, or aimlessness. The Tokugawa shogunate understood this, which is why Bushido was emphasized as a cultural ideal during the Edo period. It kept the samurai mentally sharp and morally grounded, reminding them that their worth wasn't tied only to combat, but to the example they set in every aspect of life. In this sense, Bushido became as much a philosophy for peace as it had been for war. This shift holds a lesson for modern life. Most of us today don't live in a world where survival depends on a blade. Our battles are rarely physical, they are mental, emotional, and moral. We face constant distractions, conflicting values, and shifting expectations. Without a personal code, it's easy to drift, chasing whatever is easiest or most immediately rewarding, without thinking about whether it truly serves our deeper goals. In the same way that the samurai of the Edo period needed Bushido to keep them anchored during times of peace, we need something similar to navigate the chaos of modern life. A personal code does not have to be as formal as Bushido, but it must be deliberate. It should answer questions like, what do I stand for when no one is watching? What values am I willing to sacrifice comfort for? How do I decide what is right when the choice is not obvious? Without these answers, we live reactively, making decisions based on mood, convenience, or outside pressure. With them, we live proactively, guided by principles that remain steady, even as the world changes around us. Bushido teaches us that a code is not about restricting your freedom. In fact, it's the opposite. A clear set of values frees you from the endless anxiety of second-guessing every decision. You don't have to constantly reinvent your moral compass, it's already set. The samurai did not waste time wondering whether to act with courage or honesty. Their code had already decided for them. This gave them the mental clarity to focus on the task at hand, whether that was leading men into battle or settling a dispute in their village. And perhaps the greatest takeaway is this: Bushido endured because it worked. It kept individuals disciplined, communities stable, and a culture united through centuries of both war and peace. In our world of constant change, where trends rise and fade overnight, where news cycles spin endlessly, where values are often traded for short-term gain, the idea of living by a timeless code may be exactly the anchor we need. It does not mean clinging to the past. It means choosing principles that are worth carrying forward into the future. Principles that, like Bushido, can guide us not just in moments of crisis, but in the quiet, everyday decisions that ultimately define the life we live. Rectitude, or gi, is the foundation of the samurai spirit. Without it, all the other virtues collapse. To the samurai, rectitude was more than just knowing the difference between right and wrong. It was having the courage to live by that difference, even when it came at great cost. It meant carrying within yourself a clear moral compass that no amount of pressure, fear, or temptation could bend. A person could be skilled with a sword, intelligent and disciplined, but without rectitude, all that strength could be misused. The samurai believed that a life without justice and integrity was worse than death, because it meant living as someone you could not respect in the mirror. In the context of Bushido, justice wasn't left in the hands of kings, courts, or abstract laws. It was seen as a personal responsibility. This is a powerful idea because it places the weight of moral choice squarely on the individual. You could not excuse yourself by saying, "I was just following orders," or "that's what everyone else was doing." The true samurai understood that every action they took reflected their character, and that justice was not something to be delegated. It had to be lived out personally. This responsibility was constant. Whether they were in the chaos of battle or the stillness of everyday life, the expectation was the same: act in accordance with what is right, even if no one else will. The modern world often confuses rectitude with convenience. People might claim to stand for certain values, but when those values threaten their comfort, status, or relationships, they quietly set them aside. Rectitude doesn't work that way. It's not about doing what's right when it's easy. It's about doing what's right precisely when it's difficult. It means telling the truth, even when lying would protect you. It means refusing to participate in something unethical, even if everyone around you is involved. It means walking away from opportunities that compromise your principles, even if those opportunities promise wealth or recognition. For the samurai, this unwavering commitment often required great personal sacrifice. There are stories in Japanese history of warriors who chose death rather than betray their sense of justice. One such example is the tale of Asano Naganori, the lord whose actions led to the famous Akko incident, the story of the 47 Ronin. When Asano was provoked and insulted by a corrupt official named Kira Yoshinaka, he lost his temper and drew his sword within Edo Castle, violating strict laws that prohibited fighting in the shogun's palace. For this breach, Asano was ordered to commit seppuku, the ritual suicide of a samurai. His loyal retainers could have abandoned his cause to save themselves, but they believed Kira's corruption was a stain on justice. For 2 years, they planned and waited, ultimately avenging their lord's honor, even though they knew it would mean their own deaths. This wasn't an act of blind vengeance. In their eyes, it was the fulfillment of gi, correcting a moral wrong despite the cost. Another example can be found in the life of Uesugi Kenshin, a legendary warlord known for his strict sense of justice. During one of his military campaigns, he learned that his enemy's forces were running out of salt, a vital resource for survival. Rather than exploiting this weakness, Kenshin ordered his own merchants to sell salt to the enemy. His reasoning was simple. A warrior should defeat his opponent in battle, not through dishonorable means. This act became so famous that a Japanese saying emerged, "Give salt to your enemies," meaning to uphold fairness even toward those who oppose you. Kenshin's decision showed that rectitude was not only about loyalty to one's allies, but also about fairness toward one's rivals. In daily life today, we might not be asked to make life or death decisions based on justice, but the same principle applies in countless small moments. Standing up for someone who is being treated unfairly at work. Speaking out against unethical practices in your industry, even if it risks your position. Refusing to compromise your integrity for short-term gains. These moments may seem small, but they are the true tests of rectitude. Every time you choose what is right over what is easy, you reinforce your moral clarity. Rectitude also demands that we do the hard work of discerning what right actually means. The samurai didn't rely on feelings or popular opinion to define justice. They trained their judgment through study, mentorship, and reflection. In a world where social media outrage can erupt overnight and popular sentiment can shift in an instant, this practice of steady, thoughtful discernment is more important than ever. Acting in accordance with GE means being willing to take a stand that may be unpopular, provided it aligns with deeply examined principles. It also means being humble enough to admit when you've been wrong and to correct your course. What made rectitude powerful for the samurai was not just that it guided their public lives. It shaped their private lives as well. They believed that your character was built in the quiet moments when no one was watching. It's easy to act honorable when others are observing, but the test of true gi is how you behave when you're alone, when no recognition or reward is possible. Do you still choose the right path? Do you still honor your word? That is where real integrity lives. There is also a freedom in rectitude that many people overlook. When your principles are clear and non-negotiable, you remove a great deal of hesitation and mental conflict from your life. You don't waste energy wondering what to do in a moral crisis. The answer is already decided. The samurai were decisive because their moral framework was already in place. This decisiveness is a rare trait today, where many people delay hard choices out of fear of consequences. But when you know who you are and what you stand for, you act, and you accept the results with dignity. Ultimately, gi is not about being perfect or flawless. It's about refusing to betray your conscience, even when doing so would be easier. The samurai understood that their honor could not be taken from them by force, it could only be surrendered by their own actions. In our time, the same is true. Your integrity is your most valuable possession. Once it's lost, it's nearly impossible to regain. Rectitude, then, is the discipline of guarding that integrity with every choice you make. It is the quiet, steady flame that lights the way for all other virtues to follow. Courage, or you, is the natural partner of rectitude. Knowing what is right is meaningless if you lack the strength to act on it. To the samurai, courage was not simply a flash of bravery in the heat of battle. It was a way of moving through life with conviction, whether facing an armed enemy or a difficult decision. It was about the willingness to step forward when every instinct tells you to step back. Without courage, rectitude remains a noble idea trapped in thought. With courage, it becomes a living reality. The samurai viewed courage as more than reckless daring. Recklessness was seen as dangerous and foolish, the mark of someone controlled by impulse rather than discipline. True you was calculated and purposeful. It was the kind of bravery that came from preparation, from understanding the risks and acting anyway because the cause was worth it. This is why the samurai spent years honing their skills, not only with weapons, but with their minds. They knew that in a moment of crisis, instinct would take over, and instinct had to be trained to align with their values. Zen Buddhism deeply shaped the samurai's understanding of courage. Through meditation and the acceptance of impermanence, they learned to view death not as something to fear, but as an inevitable part of life. If death could not be avoided, then it had no power to paralyze. This mindset freed them to act with clarity even in the face of mortal danger. It wasn't that the samurai were fearless, it was that they had accepted fear as a companion, refusing to let it dictate their choices. One famous example of Yu in action is the story of Takeda Shingen, a renowned daimyo of the Sengoku period. During one campaign, Shingen's forces were vastly outnumbered by an advancing enemy army. Rather than retreat in panic or engage recklessly, Shingen calmly repositioned his troops into a defensive formation that forced the enemy into narrow terrain. This move required immense courage. He had to hold his ground while staring down a seemingly unstoppable force. But his calculated bravery turned the tide of battle. The courage here was not just in facing danger, but in doing so with discipline and patience. Courage also appeared in quieter, less dramatic moments of samurai life. Consider the story of a low-ranking samurai named Tori Mototada, who served Tokugawa Ieyasu. In 1600, during the lead-up to the decisive Battle of Sekigahara, Mototada was tasked with holding Fushimi Castle against overwhelming enemy forces. He knew the castle could not be held indefinitely, but his stand would buy Ieyasu the time needed to prepare for the larger conflict. Mototada fought with unwavering resolve for 10 days, ultimately taking his own life rather than surrendering. His courage lay not only in facing death, but in accepting a mission he knew would end in his own demise because the greater cause demanded it. In the modern world, our battles are rarely fought with swords, but the need for courage is no less pressing. Courage today might mean confronting someone in power when you see injustice. It might mean leaving a stable job to pursue work that aligns with your values. It might mean admitting a personal failure and taking the first step toward change. The stakes are often emotional or social rather than physical, but the fear can feel just as overwhelming. Like the samurai, we must learn that courage does not require the absence of fear, only the refusal to be ruled by it. One of the challenges in practicing courage today is that fear often disguises itself as logic. We tell ourselves that we're being realistic when, in truth, we're avoiding risk. We convince ourselves that the timing isn't right, that we need more information, that we should wait until conditions improve. While caution has its place, courage demands that we recognize when these excuses are simply fear wearing a mask. The samurai understood this, which is why they trained themselves to act decisively once the path forward was clear. Hesitation in battle could mean death, but hesitation in life can mean missing opportunities that will never come again. Developing courage is a practice, not a single moment of heroism. The samurai built their courage through deliberate exposure to challenges. They trained in extreme conditions, tested themselves in duels, and engaged in practices like Zazen meditation to cultivate mental stillness under stress. In our own lives, we can do the same by regularly stepping outside our comfort zones in small ways. Speaking up in a meeting, starting a difficult conversation, or trying something new despite uncertainty. Each act of courage strengthens the muscle for the next. Courage also means standing alone when necessary. The samurai were bound by loyalty, but their highest loyalty was to the principles of Bushido. If a leader acted unjustly, the courageous samurai was expected to resist, even if it meant isolation or punishment. This is one of the hardest forms of courage today, choosing integrity over belonging. It is easy to go along with the crowd, to keep silent, to protect relationships or status. It is much harder to speak up when your voice is the only one breaking the silence. Yet this is where true you is revealed. Not in the roar of the battlefield, but in the quiet moments when you decide to be the lone voice for what is right. A deeper layer of samurai courage was the courage to face oneself. It's one thing to confront external dangers. It's another to confront your own weaknesses, failures, and fears. The samurai engaged in constant self-examination, seeking to improve not only their skills but their character. They were willing to acknowledge mistakes, learn from them, and change course. This kind of courage is perhaps the most relevant to us today, because it is the foundation for all personal growth. Without the courage to see ourselves honestly, we cannot improve. An important truth about you is that it is contagious. In samurai culture, the courage of one warrior could inspire an entire unit to stand firm. Likewise, in our lives, when we see someone act with courage, it challenges us to ask, if they can do it, why can't I? This ripple effect means that each act of bravery you take has the potential to influence far more people than you realize. The samurai knew that their courage was not only for themselves, but for those they led and protected. Finally, courage is not just about grand gestures. It is about consistency, the courage to keep showing up when progress is slow, the courage to persist in your craft when recognition is scarce, the courage to love fully knowing loss is inevitable. The samurai lived with the knowledge that each day could be their last, and they used that awareness to fuel decisive, meaningful action. In our own lives, embracing this impermanence can help us stop waiting for the perfect moment and start living with boldness now. Courage without rectitude is reckless, but rectitude without courage is powerless. The samurai understood this balance. They trained both the mind and the spirit to act with clarity and resolve, no matter the odds. And while our modern challenges may look different, the path of you remains open to us. It invites us to step forward into the uncertainty of life, guided by our values, steady in our purpose, and willing to face whatever comes with dignity. Benevolence, or jin, was the soul of Bushido, the principle that gave all the other virtues their humanity. Without compassion, a warrior's strength could easily turn into cruelty. The samurai understood that power was a double-edged sword. It could be used to protect or to destroy, to uplift or to oppress. Benevolence ensured that their skill in battle and their authority in society were guided by empathy and care for others. It was the reminder that the warrior's duty was not simply to fight for their own honor, but to serve the greater good. In feudal Japan, the samurai class held significant influence over the lives of those they governed. Peasants, merchants, and artisans often lived under the protection, and sometimes the control, of these warriors. With such power came the opportunity for abuse, and history is filled with examples of rulers who used their position for personal gain at the expense of their people. Bushido sought to prevent this by making jin a core responsibility of the samurai. Benevolence meant not only refraining from harming the weak, but actively seeking their well-being. A true warrior was expected to be a guardian, not a tyrant. This idea was reinforced by the samurai's exposure to Confucian thought, which emphasized the role of the leader as a moral guide for their community. If a ruler was benevolent, their subjects would be loyal and society would remain stable. But if a ruler was selfish or cruel, disorder would follow. the samurai took this lesson to heart. Many saw themselves as protectors of the social order, and benevolence became the moral glue that kept their authority legitimate. There are stories of samurai leaders who embodied jin in remarkable ways. One example is Date Masamune, a powerful daimyo of the late 16th century. Known as the One-Eyed Dragon for his skill in battle, Masamune was also admired for his generosity. He established systems to provide food during famines, built schools to educate both the children of samurai and commoners, and invested in infrastructure that improved daily life for his people. His power rested not only on fear or respect for his martial abilities, but on the loyalty inspired by his care for those under his rule. Benevolence was not limited to the grand actions of daimyos. Even individual samurai in the field were expected to show compassion when circumstances allowed. There are accounts of warriors sparing the lives of defeated opponents, offering them a chance to recover their honor rather than killing them outright. This did not mean abandoning the realities of war. Samurai still fought fiercely when necessary, but it showed that victory did not have to come at the expense of one's humanity. In modern life, jin is just as essential, though it manifests differently. Power today might not come from a sword, but from a position in a company, a platform on social media, or even the influence we have within our own relationships. Benevolence means using that influence to uplift, rather than diminish. It means looking beyond our own ambitions to see the needs of others, and taking action to meet those needs when we can. This could be as significant as advocating for someone's rights, or as small as offering kindness to someone having a difficult day. One of the most challenging aspects of benevolence is that it often requires slowing down. In a fast-moving, competitive world, pausing to consider how your actions affect others can feel like a luxury, but the samurai saw it as a necessity. They understood that strength without compassion ultimately weakens the society it's meant to protect. In our own lives, this means resisting the urge to always win at the expense of others, and instead seeking solutions that preserve dignity and fairness. Another modern application of jin is in leadership. A leader guided by benevolence fosters loyalty and trust, not through fear or manipulation, but through genuine care. Employees, teammates, or communities are more willing to go the extra mile when they know their well-being is valued. The samurai knew that loyalty earned through kindness was far more enduring than loyalty extracted through intimidation. Importantly, benevolence also extends inward. The samurai were often hard on themselves, holding to rigorous standards of discipline and honor, but they also recognized the importance of self-compassion. A warrior constantly consumed by self-criticism could not serve others well. Jin encouraged balance, to treat oneself with the same fairness and understanding that one would offer to others. This is a lesson we can apply directly today, where burnout and self-neglect are often seen as signs of dedication rather than imbalance. One lesser-known aspect of jin in Bushido was its connection to wisdom. Compassion was not meant to be blind or sentimental. It had to be paired with discernment. An act of kindness that enabled harmful behavior or neglected greater responsibilities was not considered true benevolence. The samurai believed that real compassion sometimes meant making difficult decisions, such as disciplining someone for their own long-term benefit or refusing to indulge harmful requests. This distinction is crucial in the modern era, where kindness is sometimes misunderstood as always saying yes or avoiding conflict. Perhaps one of the most famous expressions of jin comes from the story of Saigo Takamori, often called the Last Samurai. Even in the face of political betrayal and personal loss, Saigo showed restraint and humanity toward his adversaries. He believed that one's conduct toward enemies revealed more about one's character than conduct toward friends. This perspective aligns closely with the modern idea that the true measure of a person is how they treat those who cannot benefit them or those who oppose them. At its core, benevolence in Bushido teaches that the ultimate purpose of strength is service. The samurai trained tirelessly to master their weapons and their minds, not for personal glory, but to protect the people and values they cherished. In our time, jin calls us to use our own abilities, whatever they may be, in ways that contribute to the well-being of others. It challenges us to see that our lives are not measured only by what we achieve for ourselves, but by the positive impact we leave behind. When we pair benevolence with the other virtues of Bushido, we create a form of strength that is both unyielding and compassionate, capable of shaping not only our own lives but the world around us. The samurai knew that the mightiest warrior was not the one who could take life most easily, but the one who could spare it when justice and mercy demanded it. In the end, Jin reminds us that true greatness is defined not by how much power we hold, but by how we choose to use it. Respect, or Rei, was one of the most visible and deliberate virtues in Bushido. It was not simply politeness in the modern sense, nor was it an empty set of gestures done for show. For the samurai, respect was a constant acknowledgement of the worth of others and of the order that bound society together. It was the understanding that honor is not only something you hold within yourself, but something you also extend outward, through your words, your actions, and even your smallest interactions. In feudal Japan, Rei was woven into every part of samurai life, from the battlefield to the tea house. It shaped how warriors addressed one another, how they interacted with superiors and subordinates, and how they conducted themselves even toward their enemies. This was not just a matter of etiquette, it was about maintaining harmony and avoiding unnecessary conflict. Respect reduced the need for violence by signaling mutual recognition of each person's dignity. It also reinforced the discipline that was essential in a warrior culture. A soldier who could not control his temper or tongue in a moment of peace would be unreliable in the chaos of war. Respect in the samurai tradition was deeply tied to mindfulness. Every bow, every way of speaking, every ceremonial act was performed with intention. When a samurai bowed to someone, it was not just a physical gesture, it was a statement. I see you, and I acknowledge your place in this world. This acknowledgement extended beyond rank or status. Even a high-ranking samurai was expected to show courtesy to someone of lower social standing, because Rei was rooted in the idea that all human beings had intrinsic value. One of the most fascinating aspects of samurai respect was how it carried over into conflict. Historical accounts tell of warriors treating fallen opponents with dignity, ensuring proper burial rites, or returning personal belongings to the family. The enemy might have been someone they tried to kill hours earlier, but once the fight was over, the respect remained. This principle prevented blood feuds from spiraling endlessly and maintained a sense of humanity even in the brutality of war. In today's world, Rei has lost much of its formal structure, but its essence is still desperately needed. Modern life is filled with casual disrespect, in the way people speak to strangers online, in the impatience shown toward service workers, in the disregard for other perspectives during disagreements. Respect today means creating space for civility even when opinions clash, and treating others with dignity regardless of what you think of them personally. It is a choice to speak and act in a way that builds bridges instead of burning them. One of the key strengths of Rei is that it disarms hostility. People are far more likely to listen and respond positively when they feel respected, even if they disagree with you. The samurai understood this instinctively. Showing respect to an adversary did not weaken their position. It often strengthened it by keeping communication open and preventing escalation. In the modern context, this can be as simple as listening without interrupting, acknowledging the validity of another's feelings, or offering a sincere compliment to someone whose work you value. Respect also applies inward, though in a different form than self-compassion. Self-respect in Bushido meant holding yourself to a standard that you could be proud of. It meant not allowing yourself to be degraded by your own actions or to live in a way that violated your values. This is not about arrogance or self-importance. It is about living in a way that ensures you do not need to hide from your own conscience. A samurai who failed to maintain self-respect risked losing the respect of others, and once that was gone, regaining it was nearly impossible. A story that illustrates Rei well is that of Yagyu Munenori, a famous swordsman and instructor to the shogun. Despite his incredible skill and position, Munenori was known for treating his students and rivals alike with courtesy. He believed that respect for others was essential to mastering the sword, because without it, a warrior's judgment would be clouded by ego and personal grudges. His approach to teaching, firm but respectful, allowed him to produce skilled, disciplined swordsmen who understood that the true goal of their art was not to humiliate or destroy opponents, but to control themselves and maintain peace whenever possible. In a practical sense, Rei is something we can cultivate every day. It starts in small, deliberate actions, greeting people sincerely, expressing gratitude, acknowledging others' contributions, and showing patience in moments of frustration. These are not signs of weakness. On the contrary, they require strength and control. It is much easier to lash out, to speak without thinking, to ignore someone's worth when it is inconvenient. The power of Rei in modern life is that it creates stability in a chaotic world. Just as respect maintained order in the highly stratified and often volatile world of the samurai, it can maintain order in our personal and professional relationships today. When respect is mutual, trust grows, and trust makes collaboration possible. When respect is absent, suspicion and conflict quickly take its place. Ultimately, Rei reminds us that strength without courtesy is hollow. You can be powerful, talented, or successful, but if you treat others with contempt, your influence will be fragile and short-lived. The samurai knew that lasting honor required not only victory in battle, but also grace in daily life. They carried themselves with dignity not for appearances, but because they believed that how you treat others says more about your character than any achievement or title ever could. In living by Rei, we take a step toward building a life and a world in which respect is the default, not the exception. That is a form of honor worth fighting for, even in times of peace. Honesty, or Makoto, was considered one of the most sacred virtues in Bushido because it went beyond merely telling the truth. It was about becoming the truth in your words and actions. For the samurai, honesty meant complete alignment between what you said, what you intended, and what you did. It wasn't just a matter of avoiding lies, it was a matter of ensuring that your speech carried the weight of certainty, so that when you gave your word, it was as binding as any written oath. In a society where trust was the foundation of loyalty, a samurai's promise was not taken lightly. If a warrior made a commitment, whether to a lord, a comrade, or even an opponent, it was understood that they would fulfill it, even at great personal cost. Breaking one's word was not only dishonorable, but a stain that could follow a family for generations. This is why Makoto was so central. It created a world where agreements did not require endless verification or suspicion. A samurai's integrity was their most valuable currency, and once it was spent carelessly, it could never be fully regained. The depth of Makoto can be seen in the fact that it required honesty not only toward others but also toward oneself. A samurai who lied to themselves, who pretended to have courage they did not possess, or to have done something they had not, would eventually be exposed. Self-deception was seen as a dangerous flaw because it eroded the ability to act with clarity. Without the courage to see reality as it truly was, a warrior could make poor decisions, endanger their allies, or fail in their duty. Thus, Makoto demanded a constant practice of truthfulness in both inner reflection and outward expression. One story that captures the spirit of Makoto is that of Kusunoki Masashige, a 14th century samurai who served Emperor Go-Daigo. Known for his loyalty and strategic brilliance, Kusunoki was once ordered to hold a castle against an overwhelming enemy force. He told the emperor frankly that the battle would almost certainly end in defeat, but he also promised to obey his command to the best of his ability. True to his word, Kusunoki fought valiantly until the very end, dying with his honor intact. His honesty in warning the emperor did not diminish his loyalty. Rather, it showed that truth and duty could exist together. In modern life, Makoto remains vital, though the stakes are often different. Today, honesty might mean being transparent in business dealings, admitting mistakes without shifting blame, or communicating openly in relationships. In an age of carefully curated social media personas and constant image management, Makoto challenges us to drop the masks and present ourselves as we truly are. This does not mean sharing every thought without filter. The samurai valued discretion as much as truth. But it does mean refusing to build trust on falsehoods. One of the most overlooked aspects of Makoto is the discipline to follow through. Anyone can make a promise in the heat of the moment, but keeping it, especially when circumstances change or challenges arise, requires commitment. The samurai believed that failing to honor a promise, even for reasons that seemed logical, was a form of dishonesty. This principle can feel demanding in our time, when it is easy to cancel plans, abandon projects, or back out of agreements with a quick excuse. Yet holding yourself to your word builds a reputation that opens doors and creates opportunities that deceit never could. Another layer to Makoto is clarity in communication. The samurai were trained to speak plainly and precisely, avoiding exaggerated claims or vague commitments. They understood that misleading someone, even without technically lying, could be just as damaging as an outright falsehood. In modern settings, this means resisting the temptation to overpromise to impress others, or to use ambiguous language to protect ourselves from accountability. Clarity may sometimes feel uncomfortable, especially when delivering unwelcome truths, but it preserves trust in the long run. An example of this principle in action today might be a leader who communicates openly with their team during a crisis. Rather than hiding the full scope of a problem, they explain the situation honestly, outline the challenges ahead, and make realistic commitments about what can be done. This level of transparency fosters confidence and loyalty because people can sense when they are being told the truth, and they remember it when times get tough. The samurai also recognized that honesty had a protective quality. Lies and half-truths create a web that requires constant maintenance, while truth stands on its own. When your words reflect reality, you do not have to remember what you said to whom. Your story remains the same because it is grounded in fact. This consistency creates a kind of inner freedom, the same kind the samurai valued when they spoke of living without fear. A person who is honest in all matters does not have to fear exposure. However, Makoto was never meant to be an excuse for cruelty. The samurai valued tact and timing, understanding that truth should be delivered in a way that preserves dignity whenever possible. Honesty without compassion can become a weapon, cutting others unnecessarily. The skill was in balancing truth with benevolence, ensuring that what was said served a constructive purpose rather than simply satisfying the ego of the speaker. In the end, Makoto was about becoming a person whose word could be relied upon in all circumstances. It meant that when a samurai spoke, those words carried the weight of certainty. In our own time, such reliability is rare enough to stand out. People gravitate toward those they can trust completely, and trust is built through countless small moments of kept promises and consistent truthfulness. The way of Makoto asks us to live without duplicity, to mean what we say, and to ensure that our speech and actions reflect the same reality. It is not easy. It requires vigilance, humility, and a willingness to admit when we have fallen short. But as the samurai knew, a life without truth is a life without honor. And honor, once lost, is far harder to reclaim than any battlefield victory. Honor, or Meiyo, was the invisible armor that the samurai wore at all times, the reputation they built through years of disciplined living, and the moral weight of their name. To the samurai, honor was not just a matter of personal pride, it was their identity, their legacy, and the reflection of their family and clan. It was the sum of everything they had done, seen, and stood for, condensed into the way others spoke of them when they were not present. In the strict hierarchy of feudal Japan, a samurai's honor determined their place in society as much as their rank or skill. A warrior could lose wealth, land, or even physical strength and still rebuild. But the loss of honor was far more devastating. Dishonor meant being stripped of respect and trust, a social death that often carried more weight than a physical one. This is why the samurai would go to extreme lengths to defend their meiyo. In some cases, this meant risking life itself to correct a wrong or restore a tarnished name. The roots of meiyo were planted in the idea that one's actions are never truly private. Even in solitude, a samurai was expected to live as though the world were watching, because the habits you cultivate in private inevitably surface in public. This created a standard where honor was measured by consistency, being the same principled person regardless of the audience. The true test was not in grand public gestures, but in the quiet moments when you had the opportunity to compromise your values without anyone knowing and chose not to. One of the most well-known demonstrations of Meiyo in Japanese history is the story of the 47 Ronin. After their lord, Asano Naganori, was forced to commit seppuku for attacking a corrupt court official, these samurai became masterless. By Bushido standards, the insult to their lord was also an insult to their own honor. For nearly 2 years, they lived ordinary lives, concealing their intentions, until they struck down the man responsible. They knew their actions would lead to their own deaths, yet they surrendered themselves willingly after completing their mission. While their story is often told as one of loyalty, it is equally a testament to honor, the belief that it is better to die with integrity than to live with disgrace. Honor was not measured solely by vengeance or martial achievement. Many samurai gained respect not just for their skill in war, but for their fairness, wisdom, and contribution to society. A warrior who kept their word, treated others with respect, and upheld justice consistently built a name that would outlive them. In fact, part of Meiyo was the idea of legacy, that your actions ripple forward, shaping how your descendants will be treated. A samurai's sense of responsibility extended beyond their own lifetime, because their family's name was inseparably linked to their conduct. In the modern world, honor still holds value, though it often takes a different form. Instead of clans and lords, we have personal brands, reputations, and networks of trust. Your name today is your credibility. It is what determines whether people will work with you, follow you, or believe in you. Every promise kept, every responsibility fulfilled, every time you stand by your principles when it's inconvenient. All of these moments quietly build your honor. Likewise, dishonesty, betrayal, or selfishness can erode it quickly, and the damage is hard to reverse. One of the challenges in maintaining mayo today is that we live in an era of instant exposure. The samurai lived in tight-knit communities where word of dishonor could spread quickly, but our modern interconnectedness amplifies this effect beyond anything they could have imagined. A single public misstep can reach millions within hours. This makes consistency between values and actions more important than ever. In a world where perception often becomes reality, the integrity behind your actions is what sustains your reputation over time. An essential element of mayo is accountability. The samurai were expected to take full responsibility for their actions, even and especially when they made mistakes. Evading blame or shifting fault onto others was seen as deeply dishonorable. In extreme cases, this accountability took the form of seppuku, the ritual suicide by which a samurai could atone for failure or shame. While such an act would be unthinkable in modern life, the underlying principle remains relevant. Owning your failures, making amends where possible, and demonstrating through your actions that you are willing to accept the consequences of your choices. Another dimension of honor is the quiet discipline of not needing recognition for doing the right thing. Many of the most honorable acts are unseen, helping someone anonymously, protecting someone's reputation without telling them, making sacrifices that go unacknowledged. The samurai did not live for applause. They lived by a standard that did not depend on external validation. In a world where so much is broadcast for public approval, this form of silent honor is rare, but it is often the most enduring. A striking historical example comes from the life of Kato Kiyomasa, a general during Japan's invasions of Korea in the late 16th century. Despite his fierce reputation as a warrior, he was known for his strict moral code, prohibiting his men from unnecessary violence against civilians and ordering the reconstruction of Buddhist temples destroyed in war. These actions, taken when no one could have forced him to do them, reflected a deep commitment to mayo. His reputation for fairness and restraint became as much a part of his legacy as his victories in battle. To live with honor in modern life means treating your name as something you are building every day. It means being conscious of how your actions today will be remembered tomorrow. It means refusing to cut corners, even when no one is watching, because the person you ultimately answer to is yourself. Honor is not a single heroic act, but the accumulation of choices made over a lifetime. There is also an unspoken courage in maintaining honor when circumstances make dishonor easy. There will be moments when no one will know if you act selfishly or unethically, except you. Those are the moments when mayo is truly tested. The samurai understood that the hardest battles are not always fought against others, but against the temptation to betray your own values. Winning that battle again and again is what builds an unshakable name. The enduring power of mayo lies in its ability to inspire trust without constant proof. When people know you are a person of honor, they do not need contracts or guarantees. Your word is enough. In both the samurai era and our own, this is a kind of influence that cannot be bought. It must be earned, and once earned, it must be protected with vigilance. Ultimately, mayo is the art of living, so that when your name is spoken, whether in this life or long after you are gone, it is spoken with respect. The samurai lived for that respect, not as an ego-driven pursuit, but as a reflection of a life lived in harmony with their deepest values. In a noisy, fleeting world, to have a name that stands for something true is one of the rarest and most powerful achievements. Thank you. Loyalty, or chugi, was the unshakable bond that held the samurai's world together. It was the virtue that bound warrior to lord, comrade to comrade, and individual to a cause greater than themselves. In Bushido, loyalty was not blind obedience. It was a conscious, deliberate choice to devote oneself to a person, principle, or duty, even when that devotion demanded sacrifice. Without chugi, the samurai code would fragment, because every other virtue, courage, honor, rectitude, relied on the trust that loyalty creates. In feudal Japan, loyalty was more than a personal value, it was a political necessity. The samurai class was the backbone of a highly stratified society where alliances and stability depended on mutual trust. A lord needed to know that his warriors would stand by him not only in times of glory, but in times of hardship. A samurai, in turn, needed to believe that his lord would act with justice and protect the honor of his retainers. This relationship was sealed by duty and honor, and breaking it was considered one of the greatest disgraces a warrior could endure. One of the most striking examples of chugi is again found in the story of the 47 Ronin. While this story is often framed in terms of honor and justice, it is also a profound example of loyalty. These masterless samurai could have accepted their lord's death and moved on to serve others, securing comfortable positions for themselves. Instead, they chose to dedicate years of their lives to avenging him, knowing that their mission would end in their own deaths. They acted not out of personal gain, but out of a deep sense of duty to the man who had once led them. To them, loyalty was worth more than life. But chugi wasn't only about serving an individual leader, it could also be loyalty to one's comrades. On the battlefield, this meant fighting not only for the cause, but for the person standing beside you. Samurai stories are filled with accounts of warriors risking their own safety to protect an injured ally, or refusing to leave the field until all their comrades were accounted for. This kind of loyalty built trust so deep that it could withstand the chaos of war, a trust that every warrior knew could be the difference between life and death. In modern life, chugi takes different forms, but is no less important. Today, loyalty might mean standing by a friend when they face public criticism, or supporting a colleague when they are unfairly treated, even if speaking up carries risks. It can mean staying true to your partner through life's challenges, or remaining committed to a personal mission when the rewards are slow to come. In an age where relationships, careers, and even values are often treated as disposable, loyalty stands out as a rare and powerful force. One of the challenges in practicing loyalty today is distinguishing it from blind allegiance. The samurai understood that loyalty was not meant to excuse injustice or corruption. A retainer's loyalty to a lord was expected to align with the principles of Bushido. If a leader acted without honor, it was the warrior's duty to resist or even sever ties. Loyalty was never about servitude. It was about mutual respect and the shared pursuit of a just cause. This distinction is vital in the modern world, where misplaced loyalty can trap people in toxic relationships or unethical organizations. The depth of chugi can also be seen in how it relates to perseverance. Loyalty often means staying the course when it would be easier to walk away. The samurai were not fair-weather allies. Their commitment was measured by their ability to endure through setbacks, scarcity, and danger. This is just as relevant today in personal goals and professional projects. It's easy to be committed when things are going well, but chugi demands that you remain steadfast when the path is uncertain and the rewards are distant. There's a Japanese proverb connected to loyalty that says, "The loyal retainer serves even without reward." This captures the essence of chugi as selflessness, the willingness to act for the benefit of another or for the integrity of a cause without expectation of recognition or payment. In our time, this could mean volunteering your time and energy for a cause you believe in, standing by someone without broadcasting your support for social credit, or honoring a commitment, even when there's no external pressure to do so. An example from history that illustrates this selfless loyalty is the relationship between Takeda Shingen and his general, Yamamoto Kansuke. Kansuke was not a physically imposing man, nor the most celebrated warrior in Shingen's service, but he was fiercely devoted to his lord. His strategic brilliance was matched by his readiness to lay down his life if it meant victory for the Takeda clan. In one battle, facing overwhelming odds, Kansuke charged into the enemy ranks in a maneuver that allowed Shingen's forces to regroup and eventually win. Kansuke was killed in the charge, but his loyalty lived on as part of the Takeda legacy. In leadership, Chugi goes both ways. A leader who expects loyalty must also demonstrate it. The most effective samurai lords were those who stood by their retainers in hardship, rewarded their service fairly, and treated them with respect. Without this reciprocity, loyalty would quickly erode. The same principle applies today. Loyalty in a workplace, a friendship, or a family must be mutual to be sustainable. A one-sided demand for loyalty is not Bushido, it's exploitation. Another important dimension of loyalty is how it interacts with the other virtues of Bushido. Without rectitude, loyalty can lead to complicity in wrongdoing. Without honor, loyalty can become hollow obedience. But when grounded in virtue, Chugi becomes a force that strengthens bonds, builds resilience, and fosters trust. It is what allows people to work together toward goals that are bigger than any individual. In our current age of constant distraction and shifting allegiances, practicing loyalty can feel almost radical. It means resisting the urge to jump to the next best thing when challenges arise. It means valuing depth over novelty and seeing relationships, causes, and commitments as things worth protecting and investing in over time. The samurai understood that the most meaningful achievements are rarely the result of solitary effort. They are built on the foundation of people who stand together, bound by loyalty that does not falter. Ultimately, Chugi is about more than duty, it is about identity. The samurai saw themselves as part of a web of relationships that gave their life meaning, to their lords, their comrades, their families, and their ideals. Loyalty was the thread that held this web together, and to cut it carelessly was to risk unraveling everything. In our own lives, loyalty still serves this same role. It anchors us in a world of constant change, reminding us that some bonds are worth more than convenience, and some promises are worth keeping no matter the cost. Bushido was never just about the art of war, it was a philosophy of life, a compass that guided the samurai through both chaos and calm, rectitude, courage, benevolence, respect, honesty, honor, and loyalty. Seven virtues that were not memorized like a list, but lived until they became second nature. They were the invisible armor that protected a warrior's integrity more fiercely than any steel breastplate. Each virtue shaped the others. Rectitude gave moral direction. Courage carried that direction into action. Benevolence softened strength with compassion. Respect maintained harmony in every relationship. Honesty kept words and actions aligned. Honor bound a person's life to their name. Loyalty tied the individual to a purpose beyond themselves. Remove one, and the code begins to crumble. Together, they formed a way of living that was as disciplined as it was human. In the world of the samurai, living by this code was not optional. It was the standard by which life and death were measured. In our world, there is no shogun to enforce these values, no formal oath we are bound to take. That makes the choice to live by them even more powerful. When you adopt these principles in a time where compromise is easy and shortcuts are rewarded, you set yourself apart. You become, in a sense, a modern warrior, not because you fight with weapons, but because you fight to keep your values intact in a world that constantly tests them. Bushido reminds us that discipline and compassion can coexist, that power can be guided by virtue, and that a life lived with integrity is worth more than one filled with easy victories. These virtues are not relics of a vanished era. They are tools for anyone seeking to live with clarity, dignity, and purpose today. You do not need to wear armor or carry a sword to walk the way of the warrior. You only need to choose your principles and refuse to abandon them, no matter the cost. The samurai believed that a person's life was measured not by its length, but by the quality of their character. That truth has not changed. When your time comes, what will your name stand for? Will it be spoken with respect as someone who lived with courage, honor, and loyalty? Or will it be forgotten, lost to the noise of compromise and convenience? The way of the warrior is still open to you. Walk it, live it, let your life be your sword.